Good evening. I'd like to start out with a quote, sort of close of a quote, of Paul Washer. He said, "There are only two religions, one of works and one of grace." So my question would be, is Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Islam, etc., and Christianity the same thing? None of these are the same as Christianity. Christianity is properly defined by certain doctrines that are revealed in the Bible. Is it not defined by simply saying that as long as you believe in Jesus, you're a Christian? Mormons believe in Jesus, but their Jesus is a brother of the devil and the preexistence. The Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses is Michael the Archangel. So just saying you believe in Jesus doesn't make you a Christian. This is why the Bible tells us who Jesus really is, God in flesh, creator of the universe. Likewise, there are essential doctrines, and if any of those essential doctrines are violated, then a church would only appear to be Christian, but not really be Christian. What are those doctrines? The Bible tells us. The best way to tell of a false doctrine is kind of like when you look at a dollar bill. You don't look for the fake. You know what the real is. So if you know what the essential doctrines are, then you can tell the false. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to Exodus 23. It says, "There is only one God, and you are to serve no other gods." That is an essential doctrine. And Exodus 23 tells us, "You shall have no other gods before me." Isaiah 43:10. I'd probably go a little quick on this too. You might just want to write it down so you know the essentials. "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me." John 1:1, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is both God and man. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 8:24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." The third essential doctrine is Jesus rose from the dead physically. John 2:19-21. "Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. 1 Corinthians 15:14. "And if Christ has been not raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain." Number four, salvation is by grace through faith. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And of course, the famous Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Number five, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Number six, God is Trinity. Matthew 28:19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." 2 Corinthians 13:14. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And number seven, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Matthew 1:25, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So someone who is a true Christian will believe these and not violate them. So Roman Catholicism violates two of them. First of all, by its practice of promoting Mary and the saints to the level of godlike capabilities, they break the commandment to have no other gods before the true and living God. In Roman Catholicism, they say that Mary is the mediatrix, Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 969. Mary made atonement for the sins of man, Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, page 213. Mary is the subject of preaching and worshiping, Vatican Council II, page 420. Also, I've been trying to practice that word all week. Violates the biblical doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone. Paul the Apostle, for example, tells us in Romans 4:5, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. But Roman Catholicism denies that and says, so that all men may attain salvation through faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments. So even though Roman Catholicism claims to be Christian, and that is the one true church, it violates the essentials of the Christian faith. It goes beyond what is written in God's word. It denies the soul and true sovereignty of the living God by promoting prayer to and the worship of Mary. Also, it denies justification by faith alone and Christ alone. It is not a Christian church. Jehovah's Witnesses go door to door and distribute the Watchtower and Awake magazines, deny the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and deny his physical resurrection. Are they Christian or something else? Jehovah's Witnesses' beliefs are there is one God and one person. There is no Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a force, not alive. The Holy Spirit is God's impersonal active force. Jehovah's first creation was his only begotten Son, was used by Jehovah in creating all other things. Jesus was Michael the archangel who became a man. Jesus was only a perfect man, not God in the flesh. Jesus did not rise from the dead in his physical body. Jesus was raised, not a human creature, but a spirit. Jesus was born again. Their church is a self-proclaimed prophet of God. Good works are necessary for salvation. There is no hell of fire where the wicked are punished. The souls cease to exist after death. Salvation is by faith in what you do. Satan was entrusted with the obligation and charged with the duty of overseeing the creation of the earth. Some tips for witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness. 1 John 10:30-34 is a section of verses where the Pharisees say that Jesus is making himself out to be God. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claimed to be God. You can say, see, even the Jews knew he was claiming to be God. The Jehovah's Witness, if he's quick enough at this time, will say something like, Jesus wasn't God, the Jews only thought that Jesus was God, was claiming to be God. Then you can say, oh, I see, then let me get this right. You agree with the Pharisees that Jesus wasn't God, is that correct? So in other words, you know, they don't like it if you call them a Pharisee. The plurality and the Godhead. The following group of scriptures strongly suggest a plurality within the Godhead. These verses are translated correctly in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, so you can encourage them to use it. Do not recommend using the NIV because it is not a literal translation in the Amos verses. I would recommend either King James or the New American Standard Bible. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will say that angels are the ones who helped God make man. However, there is no scriptural evidence for that. God is the only creator. You can also take him to Colossians 1:15 through 17, where it says that Jesus is the creator of all things, including man, and Isaiah 44:24, where it says that God created the heavens and the earth all alone. Genesis 19:24, then the Lord Jehovah rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord Jehovah out of heaven. Is this saying there are two Lords, two Jehovahs? Amos 4:10-11, I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword among with your captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Jehovah is the one talking, and he says, I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Very interesting. Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. If you are reading these verses to a Jehovah Witness, he might say something like, are you trying to show the Trinity to me in these verses? You can simply say, you got the Trinity out of that? The Jehovah Witnesses deny that Jesus was crucified on a cross. They say it happened on a torture stake where his wrists were put together over his head and a single nail was put through both. If that is true, then why does Thomas say, unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails? In the Greek, the word used here for nails is in the plural. Therefore, there was more than one nail used in the hands of the crucifixion of Christ. First and last, how many first and last are there? In the Bible, God is called the first and last, and so is Jesus. Since God says there is no God apart from him, Jesus and God are both addressed by the same title. Then that possesses a problem for the Jehovah Witnesses. Isaiah 44:6, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:17-18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Obviously, Revelations 1:17-18 can only refer to Jesus. Revelation 22:12-13. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Here both the Alpha and the Omega and the first and the last are said to be one and the same. Also at this point, go to Titus 2:13, where it says that Jesus is the one who is coming soon. Therefore, Jesus and Jehovah are the same. The Holy Spirit. Jehovah Witnesses teach that the Holy Spirit is an active force like radar. They deny that he is alive and that he is a person. This is, of course, because they deny the Trinity. Yet, if the Holy Spirit is simply a force, then why is he called God in Acts 5:3-5? Why is it that he can teach, John 14:26? How can he be blasphemed, Matthew 12:31-32? How can he be the one who comforts, Acts 9:31? How is it possible for him to speak, Acts 28:25? How then can he be resisted, Acts 7:51? How can he be grieved, Ephesians 4:30? How can he help us in our weakness, Romans 8:26? If the Holy Spirit is a force, then how is it possible that the above-mentioned characteristics are attributed to him? A force doesn't speak, teach, comfort, nor can you blaspheme against a force. The resurrection of Jesus. The Jehovah Witnesses deny the physical resurrection of Jesus. They say that if the sacrifice of Jesus were real, then the body had to stay in the grave. They say that he rose in a spirit body. This body was a manifestation similar to the way angels manifest themselves in the Old Testament. The problem with their view is that the angels were not incarnated. That is, they are not born of woman. Jesus became a man by birth. Therefore, he had a real physical body, permanent body. Jesus rose from the dead in the same body he died in. For scriptural proof of this, consider the following verses. John 2:19-22. Before the crucifixion, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was speaking of the temple of his body. Since Jesus said he would raise the same body he died in, then it must be true. This last verse is worth focusing on. Remember, Jesus said he would be the one to raise his body, so it must be true. Jesus, in John 20:27, Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your finger and put it into my side." If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then why did he have a physical body? Jehovah's Witnesses will usually reply that it was a temporary body materialized so that the apostles would believe that he was raised. Yet this is not what Jesus said. In John 2:19-22, he said he would raise his very body. Luke 24:39, "Spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Jesus said that he had flesh and bones, not flesh and blood. This is important because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The blood of Jesus was the sacrifice for sin, Romans 5:9. It is the blood that cleanses us from our sins. Similarities between the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Pharisees. The Pharisees denied the Trinity and the deity of Christ, as do the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Pharisees denied the physical resurrection of Christ and salvation by grace alone. And usually when I encounter a Jehovah's Witness on the street, if I can't get nowhere with them, I just say, "Why should I be a Jehovah's Witness if I'm just annihilated when I die? So I might as well just live it up and party like there's no end, because there's no punishment in the end." Biblical response to Mormons. Witnessing to Mormons, it's like trying to climb Jell-O. It's hard to get a foothold. But if you know what Mormonism teaches, then you are already well on your way, following the basic approaches that should aid you in witnessing to a Mormon. None of these approaches are foolproof. They will provide you with basic framework you need to be able to witness to a Mormon. Remember, the best way to learn to witness is to witness. There are two important things to know before you begin evangelizing Mormons. First, you need to understand their definitions to the same biblical words that you use. Trinity, Jesus, salvation, heaven, etc. are different. Second, you must be able to show them what they believe and is a wrong Jesus. This is important because only the true Jesus gives eternal life, John 10:28. For the first part, you really need to study the terminology of Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Once you understand what it is that they are saying, you will be much more able to witness. To witness means you must teach. To teach means you must understand. To understand means you must know not only what you believe, but also what they believe. Terminology. When a Mormon says he believes in the Trinity, he does not mean the historical Orthodox Trinity of the one God who exists in three persons. To a Mormon, the Trinity is a position held by three separate gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Remember, the correct doctrine of the Trinity is that there is only one God who has existed for eternity. There is one God exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are not three separate gods, but only one God. When a Mormon says he believes in God, he does not mean in the one true God, the creator of all things. The one who has always existed from all time, he means he believes in a God who used to be a man on another planet. He followed the laws and ordinance that God on that planet and became exalted to Godhood. And to top it all off, he has a wife who is a goddess. If you are in a witnessing situation with a Mormon, you might be using the same words, but you won't be speaking the same language. They have testimony. Mormons will bear their testimony to you and tell you that they know the Mormon Church is true and that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God. There are two basic approaches you can take. Ask them where their testimony is. In my heart, they'll say. You can say, did you know that the Bible says not to trust your heart because it is deceitful? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Second, you can ask them how they get their testimony. They will say, by the Holy Spirit. Ask, who bears witness of the truth? They will say that the Holy Spirit does. Correct him gently by showing him that the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus in John 15:26, and that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. Once you've shown them that the Holy Spirit is sent from Jesus, ask them if a false Jesus will send the true Spirit of God. The answer, of course, is no. The point is that only the Jesus of the Bible will send the Holy Spirit. If they don't have the right Jesus, they can't have the true Holy Spirit, and their testimony is invalid. Praying about the Book of Mormon. Mormons believe that if you read the Book of Mormon and then pray and ask God whether or not it is true, you will receive a testimony from the Holy Spirit verifying its truth. If it is true, then Joseph Smith is true, and so is Mormonism. Many Mormons claim to have this testimony. First of all, God never says to pray about truth. He says to search the Scriptures to find truth. Acts 17:11, 2 Timothy 3:16. So what the Mormon is doing is unbiblical. Second, it doesn't matter what you feel. If what you feel contradicts the Bible, then what you feel is wrong. Third, ask them if they ever had to pray about the Bible to see if it is true. Of course they haven't. So why are they supposed to pray about the Book of Mormon? Their answer will be that the Book of Mormon says to pray about it. Still, the Bible says to study God's word for truth, not pray about it. A common verse that Mormons use to support their belief that you can pray about the Book of Mormon is found in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. They say that because since they believe they're sincere, God will answer them. First of all, the problem with sincerity is that it becomes work righteousness, because the person is saying, because of my sincerity, God will listen to me. In other words, because of what's in the person, God will look favorably upon him. God does not look into a person and find something good, because there is no good in anyone. Romans 3:10-12 and Ephesians 2:3. Second, this verse is about wisdom, not about praying to see if the Book of Mormon is true. In James 1:1 it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So the Book of James was written to those who were believers and already had the truth. That is why Jesus calls them brothers in verse 2. What is the gospel? The following approach is direct and hard-hitting. Sometimes it is necessary to be blunt in order to get their attention. Ask a Mormon, what is the gospel? He will say something like, the gospel is the laws and the ordinance of the Mormon Church. Ask again what it is and listen closely for any hint of the free forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You usually hear an answer dealing with works, obedience, and doing something. After the person has answered, explain that according to the Bible, the gospel is what saves us, what cleanses us of our sins, and enables us to stand in the presence of God the Father. Explain the Bible specifically defines the gospel and what the gospel is. After you've heard a works righteous type answer, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Explain the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sins. Then turn to 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 and read again. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You can say something like, you clearly did not understand the gospel message of Jesus the Savior, and the Bible clearly shows you why. It's because your mind has been blinded. The apostasy. Mormonism maintains that the true gospel message was lost from the earth shortly after the apostles died. The Mormon apostle Orson Pratt said, "Jesus established his kingdom on earth. The kingdom of this world made war against the kingdom of God, established 18 centuries ago, and they prevailed against it, and the kingdom ceased to exist." Journal of Discourses, volume 13, page 125. "But Jesus said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16, 18. As you can see, Mormonism contradicts what Jesus said. That is why they must say that the Bible is not trustworthy. That is, it isn't trustworthy wherever it disagrees with Mormonism. Many gods. One of the truly dividing lines between Christianity and Mormonism is their doctrine of the plurality of gods. Mormonism teaches that there are many, many gods. Mormon Doctrine by Bruce McConk, page 163. In their desire for legitimacy, they will even quote 1 Corinthians 8:5 to say that the Bible also teaches many gods. 1 Corinthians 8:5 says, "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, they will say," see, even the Bible says there are many gods. You can say it says there are many that are called gods. It doesn't say they really are gods. It's saying that they're only called gods. The scriptures recognize that there are false gods, Galatians 4:8. Besides, the Bible flatly denies the existence of any other gods. Isaiah 43:10, "You are my witness, declares the Lord. Before me no god was formed, nor will there be one after me." Isaiah 44:6 and 8, "This is what the Lord says, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me there is no god. Is there any god besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one." Isaiah 45:5, "I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me there is no god." I'll be honest with you, I have not had very many witnessing encounters with Muslims, but the ones that I've had have gone two different ways. They would either listen to what I was saying and walk away, or they would get extremely violent. And most time it leans to the violent side. So I went and looked up some of the doctrines of Islam, because I don't really know a whole lot about that. So Muslims believe there is only one God. God is called Allah by Muslims. Allah sees all things, is present everywhere. Allah is the sole creator and sustainer of the universe. Allah is not a trinity, but is one. Allah is all-knowing and all-powerful. Allah created the heaven and the earth. Their view of salvation and judgment. Allah will judge all people on the day of judgment. If your good deeds exceed your bad deeds, and you believe in Allah and sincerely repent of sins, you may go to heaven. There is an eternal hell for those who are not Muslim, not practicing Islam, and not of the true faith. Hell is a place of unlimited capacity, eternal torment, fire with boiling water, where skin is burned and renewed, for unbelievers with faces covered with fire. There is a tree in hell from which bad fruit is given, and the damned are forced to eat. Heaven, paradise, a garden of bliss, fruit, has rivers with maidens pure and holy, carpets and cushions. There will be a physical resurrection of all people on the day of judgment. Judgment is based on a person's sincere repentance and righteous deeds. There is an afterlife. There are such things as angels created by Allah that are created from light. Angels are obedient slaves incapable of refusing to do Allah's will. The angel Gabriel brought the revelation of the Quran to Muhammad. The Holy Spirit is the angel Gabriel. There is no actual verses where the Holy Spirit is said to be Gabriel or is identified as Gabriel. Jinn are unseen beings created from fire but are not angels. They have communities. There are good and bad jinn. The devil called Iblis is a bad jinn. Jesus was a great prophet, but not the Son of God, is not divine, was not crucified. Muhammad is Allah's greatest and last prophet, and his message supersedes all other past prophets, including Jesus. Fasting is to be observed during the month of Ramadan. Drinking alcohol is forbidden. Gambling is forbidden. Man is made from the dust of the earth. There is no last-minute repentance. And if anyone's interested and would like a copy of the essential doctrines and verses to use for witnessing and stuff like that, I have copies. And thank you.
Thank you, Fred. We're going to take about a 12-minute break till 7 o'clock, so we could take a break till be back in here about 7. And we'll have Pastor give us a word of encouragement. Okay? Thanks.